Well, how do you like the day so far? Isn't that beautiful weather out there? I know there's a little wind, but that's okay. Yeah. Well, this is a portion of our service where we go to God and thank Him for all that He does for us and what He's going to do for us. Let's go to Him in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that You are our God, that You are full of grace and mercy, righteousness and justice. We thank You that we can come here and sing these songs to praise to You. And we thank You that we don't have to have any of this by earning them, because it's all because of Your grace. And now we commemorate that grace in giving, not from a sense of compulsion, but from a sense of great gratitude. And we do this to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. It is our custom to prepare ourselves for the study of God's Word by having a few moments of silent prayer. During that time, we have the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are desperate times in which we live. There are so many things that can get us distracted, get us to worry, get us to fear. And yet, the option, the wonderful and beautiful option that we have, is to just keep our eyes on You. You are the one that is in charge of everything. And we can have joy, and we can have happiness, we can have so many things, even in the middle of turmoil, and that's because of You and Your Word. We need Your promises. We need to continue to depend on You, not every day, but every moment. And every time we see a hint of fear, we can acknowledge that fear, and You will remove it from us as far as the east is from the west. So we thank You for these things and pray that You will help us to focus this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of announcements. First of all, we're going to have our yearly meeting today, financial meeting. So I hope that you will stay. It doesn't take very long. And Bidell has got something ready for us, so we need to stay here if we can and see what he has to say. Also, we have some laminated things in our library that I have charts and things, PowerPoints I put on the board from time to time. And someone has taken the effort to laminate these things. And so you can take them and put them in your Bible, your purse, your wallet, whatever you want to do. And, of course, like everything else, they're free as well. So, I'm going to start today. That something happened yesterday. Most of you know Rowdy, also known as Kyle. He's a prisoner in Florida. He's been there several years. He was innocent, and yet there was a great misjustice of what they did with him. And they call him Rowdy because his last name is Yates. And if you know who Rowdy Yates might be on Wagon Train, or what was it? No, whatever one that is. Rawhide, that's it. And so that's what they call him. And over the last, I would say, probably months, or maybe a little longer than that, I could tell that there was a change. Something was bothering him. And he finally told us that there was a particular inmate there that was in a gang, and he owned drugs, and he was a bully. He goes around stealing from people, and for some reason he had got Rowdy targeted. Now, these prisons are very dangerous places, and it's the first one prison he was in, they averaged about two stabbings a week. Now, they always find shivs, you know, things that they can do that with. And I guess it was about a week ago, this guy came to Rowdy's cell, and he said, "Move over, I'm going to come in and take all whatever I want." And that's what they usually do. I mean, they're not shy about it. He said, "Well, you're going to have to go through me for that to happen." And so the guy was kind of surprised, but he left. And ever since then, the word gets out that he is marking a Rowdy, and that means to kill him. And so, of course, that was on his mind, and I've been praying, and I've asked some of y'all to pray for him as well. Two, three, four, five times a day, every time I thought about him, I would pray for him. And yesterday when he called, I was telling him, I said, "Look, this is another development. Just a few days ago, they put him on a maintenance team, and they can go anywhere in the prison. And that means they can come to where he is. This guy can." And I think it was yesterday, or now it would be day before yesterday, he was in his wing, and he would just kept staring at him the whole time. And so, of course, I told him, I said, "Well, Rowdy," and he's been saying some disparaging things about him as well. And I said, "The thing that I would do if you answered him at all is tell him that the Lord Jesus Christ is my strength and my deliverer," things of that sort. Because when he does that, it'd be kind of like David and Goliath. David said that to Goliath, and Goliath wound up cursing the Lord. And maybe that would happen to him, I thought. Anyway, I talked to him, and then about 20 minutes later, another phone call from him. And that's, you know, that doesn't usually happen. I thought, I hope this isn't bad news. And we've been, Carrie and I especially, have been praying that the Lord will take him to another prison, do something to get his focus off of killing Rowdy. And I didn't answer the phone, but I could tell when Carrie was talking to him, something good happened. And so I said, "What happened? What happened?" Well, this guy that is this bad hombre checked himself into confinement. Now, that's like a prison in a prison. And what it does is when you go into confinement, you have a cell and you're the only person in it. And he did it. He checked himself in because there was a gang that had put a number out on him. And they said that they were going to kill him and cut him up in pieces. And so he checked himself into this this cell. And usually they stay there a long time because if they get out, whatever the issue is might still be there. And Rowdy has, you just would have to know him. His background he was in the military and he was in special forces and saw a lot of combat. He said he's got 47 friends that died with him when he was in the military. And then he went to, got out of the military, and he was a bull rider. He went all over the place, all over riding bulls. And then he was a sheriff's deputy. And that's one reason this guy let it out, that he was once a sheriff's deputy. You're not popular in prison if you were in law enforcement. And so... we thought, and he's a painter. I have some sketches that he's done. He's doing a mural on the wall. He teaches the people who have the GED. He teaches that. He's into all so many things. And he's taking this particular, I guess you would say it's something that they are trying. They're taking classes. And he's 1 month away of graduating. And at the end of that month, he can go to the best prison in Florida. But you have to, very few get there. And it's nearly like black and white compared to what the other prisons are like. So if you will pray with me that he will last at least to where he graduates and can get out of there. But the Lord has already shown what he can do. I mean, that was... I thought it would be worth taking this time to tell you because that's how the Lord works. It wasn't long. I mean, I told Carrie I said, all we can do is pray for him. But he said, that's enough. That's what we wanted. And sure enough, he said he's going to breathe easy and sleep good tonight like he hasn't before. So anyway, I wanted to tell you that and y'all can keep praying for him. And we'll keep seeing the Lord answer prayers. That's a wonderful thing. If you'll go into Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. We're going to pick up our study in verse 23. Now let's make it 22. Verse 22 of chapter 21. And what we're going to cover first in these actually two verses here has to do with laws concerning personal injury. So we're going through a portion of Exodus where all these laws are given because there's so many things that can happen. And rather than being just not really organized, the Bible gives all these different scenarios and how people are to go through them. So, in Exodus chapter 21, verse 22 says, "And if men struggle with each other and strike a woman with child so that she has and she gives birth prematurely, yet there is no injury, he shall surely be fined as a woman's husband may demand of him, and he shall pay as the judges decide." Quite a bit in that verse. So you have two men that are struggling. They get in a fight, and probably there was a pregnant woman standing by, and she was injured, or it says here that she gave birth prematurely. Probably one of them knocked into her, and that caused the birth to be premature. And it says, yet there was no injury besides that. He shall surely be fined by the woman's husband, and may, whatever the husband demands of him, that would be the person that ran into her, and he shall pay as the judges decide. Now, that's important about the judges decide, because judges were brought in the legal promise of the legal process so that damages awarded would be fair and not be calculated out of vengeance. So that was a place for them, and that is the way it should be. The judges are going to decide what is going to happen in this. Then verse 23. But if there is any further injury, then you shall appoint as a penalty life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, and burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. Now, this is what they had in those days for retaliation. The principle of retaliation is called lex talionis. That's L-E-X space T-A-L-I-O-N-E-S, lex talionis. And applied if an injury occurred to either mother or child. In this case, it affected both of them because the mother gave birth but is premature. The punishment matched but did not exceed the damage done to the victim. That was the way it would work. The welfare of a pregnant woman was protected by this law, so that the unintentional maltreatment, which happened when two guys get in a fight and they're not thinking about anything else, but she was maltreated, and the law constituted culpable negligence. And so they were culpable. They were could be punished, even though it wasn't on purpose. So the law of retaliation was given to protect the innocent and to make sure retaliation did not occur beyond the offense. Because if you just left it up to the people who were innocent and were injured in some way, they might have not so much as a fair thing that would take place, and they would just want to do what was unfair. So, excuse me, Jesus pointed out, however, that while the rights of the innocent were protected by the law, the righteous deed not necessarily claim their rights. I'll get to that more in a moment. We're going to go to Matthew in a verse. A righteous man would be characterized by humility and selflessness. Instead of retaliating or going to the magistrate, whatever, he might go the extra mile to maintain peace. When wronged by being struck on the cheek or sued for his tunic, which was an undergarment, a cloak was the outer garment. Can you imagine suing someone to get their underwear? Well, we laugh, but clothes were very important then, and they didn't have many of them. A lot of people just had the clothes on their back, and that was it. Are forced to travel with someone a mile, he would not strike back and demand repayment or refuse to comply. Instead of retaliating, he had the option to do just the opposite and would also commit his case to the Lord, who will one day set all things in order. And that's found in Romans chapter 12. How about that? Chapter 12, verse 17 through 21. This was seen to its this was seen to its greatest extent in the life of the Lord Jesus himself, as Peter explained in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. And this is verse 23 of chapter 1 Peter chapter 2. And while being reviled, this is talking about Jesus Christ. Being reviled is a harsh language. It's really bad. He did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And who might that be? That would be, of course, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to go back here to this verse for a moment. And you may have a Bible that has a little bit different take. I have one over here, and it says, but if, this is verse 23, but if there is any further injury, then you shall appoint as a penalty life for life. Okay, well, I need to go, sorry about that, one more verse up. If men struggle with each other and strike a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, that is the version I have here, but over in this is New American Standard Version, this is what it says. And if men struggle with each other and strike a woman with child so that she has a miscarriage, yet there is no further injury, he shall surely be fined by the woman's husband and may demand of him and shall pay as the judge decides. There's a big difference between having a... in this case, it would be a miscarriage. If I'm thinking correctly, that means the baby would die. And there's a big difference between that and a baby being born prematurely. And when you get into the Greek words, it is the birth is prematurely. Even in the Bible that I just read that had that particular part in it, let me get this up here where I can see it. By the way, this is my favorite Bible. It's I don't use it. It's falling apart. But, excuse me. It says in verse 22, it said, this version says, she has miscarriage. Better her fruit comes out alive, not dead. And in this case, there'd be a fine levied. So I just thought I would give you that. The Greek spells this out, that it was a premature birth. So, an eye for an eye. This is from the Fawcett David Brown commentary. And it says, an eye for an eye. The law which authorized retaliation was a civil one. It was given to regulate the procedure of the public magistrate in determining the amount of compensation in every case of injury. And I had to stop there when I was doing this. I started thinking about the pathetic system we are operating on, where you have district attorneys, and they determine the amount of compensation or how long someone is going to be in jail and that type of thing. And if you know what is going on in that area, there are many of them, mostly in blue states, that just let them go. They just don't do anything. The recent one that happened not long ago was when two police officers were attacked by a gang. These were from the illegal aliens. They broke the law to get here to begin with. And so they left and went to Arizona, I believe, and they found them in Arizona and brought them back and put them between the district attorney in New York, and he just let them go. And that's happening all over our country. They're back on the streets. No bail, no anything. And I'm just thinking about, we're supposed to be a sophisticated, modern people. And yet, when we read what God does and the way He handles it, it's far superior to anything that we have, especially now. The crime is out of control. My daughter lives in Houston, and she was telling me about the things that are happening in her neighborhood. And we are at a crossroads, folks. Our country is all but gone. And if we don't fight, if we don't do something about it, the fools that are in charge are going to just keep on doing what they have been doing, and that is holding no one accountable. And what we are studying this morning is accountability. And God measures it out, and He tells them just exactly, this is how you handle this. Where we have a godless people who are in charge, and I just thought that as I go through these things, I'm so thankful that God is precise, He is just, He is righteous. And yet what we have before us is insanity, especially with the border. So we need to keep praying for our country, and we need to stand up to people who are going to try to bully us. Yeah, I'm just still grinning. I can't help but nearly stop grinning because of what happened with Rowdy. It's wonderful to see your prayers answered, especially it's just 20 minutes after you talk to someone. Okay, so I'm going to do the eye for an eye again. The law which authorized retaliation was a civil one. It would be handled in courts. It was given to regulate the procedure of the public magistrate. So it would go to whoever was in charge in government in determining the amount of compensation in every case of injury, but did not encourage feelings of private revenge. And so if you had someone in your family and they were injured, you would have very easily, you could kind of go over into wanting private revenge. You want to get your pound of flesh. And this helped keep that from happening. Now, the later Jews, however, mistook it for a moral precept and were corrected by our Lord in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 through 42. I don't think I put that on the board. All right, and you can be turning to it. You might want to make a notation there. Matthew 5, 38 through 42. Matthew 5:38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. Now, I'm going to get to that in a moment. You might put a little line, invisible line under that, because I'm going to deal with that in a moment. But this is the Lord speaking. He said, but I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you to take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. Now let's see if this is where I address this. Okay, I'm just going to go on and put this on the board as well, because I want to make an important point here. These are the notes that I would be using right here. It's important to recognize the difference between infractions and disagreements between individuals, and evil people in government are criminals who purposely do harm and oppress innocent people. I'm going to read that again. I want to make sure you understand. There is a distinction between these. It's important to recognize the difference between infractions and disagreements between individuals. That's one thing, and it happens all the time. Just get on the freeway and bump into somebody's car, and it all unveils right there in front of you. That's one issue. And evil people, there are evil people in government, are criminals who purposely do harm and oppress innocent people. That's not the same thing. What I'm telling you is, well, let me finish the paragraph. We have the God-given right to defend ourselves against such people. So when someone in government or someone is a criminal and they purposely are harming you and oppressing you, you have the right to defend yourself. Now I'm going to read the next paragraph to put the rest of it in perspective. We have an option, though, when it comes to disputes with people and being injured by them. We have options. We can take our case to a public magistrate to seek justice, which is fine. A lot of people do that, most people. Or we can let it go and suffer the wrongdoing or injury we sustained and put it all in the Lord's hands to deal with. Are you seeing the difference that I'm talking about? If the government comes in and they have doing something unconstitutional to you, they're coming to you and they're going to force you to do something that God would not allow, you have every right to defend yourself against that. But when we're talking about disputes between people, that's another issue, because you have the option there. Did you notice they said if someone slaps you? If someone slaps you, you have the option of turning your cheek and let them slap the other cheek as well. But that's not a crime. That's just what happens when people aggravate one another, whatever it may be. So you have the option of suing someone or going to the magistrate. Hopefully it wouldn't be to one of these district attorneys that are really evil. You have that right to do that, or you can just let it go and sustain whatever unjust thing happened to you and just say, okay, Lord, I will let you deal with this. It's yours. Are y'all seeing the distinction? You have the right to fight those who are purposely going to harm you. You have the right of self-defense. But what we were seeing in Matthew in this verse didn't apply to that, because this has to do with people who are having a disagreements and infractions. You can go take them to court, or you can just let it go. I want to tell you something that I can remember this so well. I was in the log home business before I became a pastor. That was our model home over there, and there was another guy that came in to Brenham, started business, and he wanted to go into the log business also. And if you're thinking about Jenkins, it wasn't him. It was another person. We're good friends and have been. But he came over, and I had a development in Houston, and I needed someone to do it, to have the work to do. And so I gave him that job, which, was just dropped it in his lap. I didn't have time to do it. And I said, but the only thing I want to make sure is that you're not going to go in competition with me. Oh, I'd never do that. The next month, he was already converting his place here. He had a business into a log home place. And the next thing I know, people were coming over here and they said, do you know there's another log home place here in Brown? I said, yeah, I heard about it. He said, well, they don't like you. They said you are a charlatan and your logs are bad and blah, blah, blah. And they would say, what do you have to say to that? I said, well, you've already been there. You saw what he has. And now you're here. You see what I have. That's the decision. And I would not badmouth him, wouldn't say a word about it, what he was doing. And I prayed the Lord, and I did this. I said, I'm going to just put this in your hands. I'm not going to try to retaliate. I'm not going to do anything. Within 1 year, he lost his business. He got divorced, and he was out of town. Now, I would say that's answered prayer. Now, I didn't ask the Lord to do, when you put something in the Lord's hands, you can't tell him, now this is how you're going to do it. You just let it go. And it was so great when, I wasn't really wishing anything evil or harmful to him, but I'm trying to illustrate, I had an option. I could have taken him to sue him, I could do all these things and say, I'm not going to go that route. I'm just going to leave it in the Lord's hands, and I know there it will be taken care of and it will be just. So that's, we're never going to get very far if I don't get out of this verse. Where's my thing here? I hope y'all do understand the difference between exercising your right of self-defense when it's a criminal or the government is trying to purposely harm you, and when you just have disputes with people, how to handle. We'll see if the other ones go a little faster. Okay, verse 23 again says, "But if there is any further injury, then you shall appoint as a penalty life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, and wound for wound, and bruise for bruise." Now, in verse 26, we're looking at another issue. "And if a man strikes the eye of his male or female slave and destroys it, he shall let him go free on account of his eye." So, if you had someone that you struck in the eye, it was a slave, and it destroyed their eye, then you were required to let them go. They would go away free. And then verse 27. "And if he knocks out both of his male or female slaves," he knocks out a tooth of his male or female slave, "he should let him go free for account of his tooth." So they were injured, and this was huge. I imagine that there were slaves that would rather have their tooth knocked out and go free than to be a slave the rest of their life. But these are judgments of God, and so that's why I think it's important to note, because things happen to us as well, and we need to have the expertise of God when we make decisions. Verse 28. "And if an ox goads a man or a woman to death, the ox shall surely be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall go unpunished." So if you had an ox and it got out and gored someone, it's interesting, I think, first of all, that they're going to stone the ox. Now, this is, you can just make a mental note of this. Anytime an animal kills a person, they're going to die as well. But the method, you know, stoning. I mean, you stone people. But in this case, the ox, I don't know how you would stone an ox. You'd have to have a lot of people and big rocks. But anyway, you would stone them, and then you wouldn't eat it. You wouldn't eat it. It was foul. It was something that you couldn't eat because it was it had killed a person. Verse 29. "If, however, an ox was previously in the habit of goring, its owner has been warned, yet he does not confine it, and it kills a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned again, and the owner also shall be put to death." Now, I would say that would get people's attention. If you had an ox and it's got out and gored somebody, you didn't know that was happening, you would really make sure that he wasn't going to get out again. And that's what we call responsibility. Most of these things are just common sense, and you would be held responsible. Because in life, isn't that what happens? How often do you get all free without having to take responsibility? And it can be, in this case, it would be taking the guy's life. Verse 30. "If a ransom is demanded of him, then he shall give for the redemption of his life whatever was demanded of him." So that means that if he didn't take care of this would be a bull. Some translation says bulls instead of a ox. But if a ransom is demanded of him, a ransom, in other words, he would have to pay something, He shall give for the redemption of his life whatever is demanded of him. In other words, let's say that you had an ox that got out all the time. You didn't take care of it, and now it's killed somebody. The people could say, they could demand a ransom from him. And what would the ransom be? Whatever they said it was. And what's at stake? His life. I got it? Okay. Verse 31. Whether it gores a son or a daughter, it shall be done to him according to the same rule. So it doesn't matter whether it's a slave or whoever it is, or it's an adult, or even children in this case. It would have the same ruling. Verse 32. If an ox gores a male or female slave, the owner shall give his or her master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. There you go, it's being stoned again. Now, 30 shekels, might underline that. So if the ox gores a male or female slave, the owner shall give him or her master 30 shekels of gold. 30 shekels of gold was the redemption price for a slave. That's why I had you underline that. So they would redeem the slave through this 30 shekels of gold. Silver. Verse 33. And if a man opens a pit or digs a pit and does not cover it over, and an ox or a donkey falls into it, the owner of the pit shall make restitution. He shall give money to its owner, and the dead animal shall become his. So if somebody digs a pit and doesn't cover it, and you have these animals that a donkey falls into it, or an ox, then the next verse says he shall pay, give money to the owner, and the dead animal shall become his. So if he dug a pit, he didn't cover it, an animal falls in and kills the animal, then he has to give money to the owner, and the dead animal can become his. Verse 35. And if one man's ox hurts another person's ox, so that he dies, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the price equally, and also shall divide the dead ox. Doesn't that all sound fair to you? Okay. And see, they're dealing with animals because they were agrarian society, and they had mainly animals. Animals were probably the same as money. They didn't carry a lot of money around, silver and that type of thing, but they required a lot for their animals. That's what they were living on. Verse 36. Or if it is known that an ox was previously in the habit of goring, yet its owner has not confined it, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead animal shall become his. Ox for ox means he would pay for the dead animal to the person that owned the other ox, but it would be his. Okay, let me take a breath here to bring us up to chapter 22. Are y'all ready for chapter 22? First verse? We'll get into it. We won't be in it long. But the pericope above this is laws concerning theft. Now, this has to do with people who would want to steal. There's only four verses here. And before I read it, I made this just to remind myself to tell you. Verses 1 through 4, we're going to find that the risk of getting caught stealing animals and the punishment meted out certainly wasn't worth it. And we'll see. Verse 1. chapter 22. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall pay 5 oxen for the ox and 4 sheep for the sheep. So if you get caught, these are heavy prices. It was 5 oxen. You have to give them back 5 oxen, and if it was sheep, it's 4 sheep. Verse 2. If the thief is caught while breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there will be no blood guiltiness on his account. What that means, he's innocent. So if you are at home and someone breaking into your house and they want to steal, and you have a cannon in there, let's say a double-barrel shotgun, and he comes in and you blow him in half, according to the Bible, you are not guilty. It was at night, he came in. You don't know whether he's going to kill you, whether he's going to rob you, or what it's going to be. So I would put a little notation by that, so if that subject matter ever comes up, you can show him what the Bible says. Verse 3. But if the sun has risen on him, there will be blood guiltiness, meaning he will be guilty, on his account. He shall surely make restitution if he owns nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. So, when it says when the sun is risen, that means at night, and somebody breaks in, your heart is beating, you have some weapon, and you use it, and you kill them, that's fine, nothing to it. But if it's light, then you see a lot more, and it could be that you just hide until it gets light. The whole point is, you have more... You have more in to see. You have more information to be able to tell you should you shoot or not. And if it's light and you shoot them, it's usually because it could be revenge. It could be whatever it is. But what we're seeing here in verse 3 again, but if the sun has risen on him, you'll be guilty on his account. And it says, if he owns nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. According to this, it doesn't look like when it says blood guiltiness on his account, it would be the owners that would be in trouble then. But he shall surely make restitution. If he owns nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. So this is talking about the person that broke in. And if I thought about this before. If someone's stolen something and you catch them and they are going to have a fine, and this time, I think it should be the same way today as well, they would be fined a certain amount of money. They don't have it. They don't have the money. So what do? They become a slave. And they have to work that off. It might take them 5 years working for the person that they were trying to steal from for them to be able to work it off and be free again. That's what happens. I think that's what should happen in our day too as well. Verse 4. If what he stole is actually found alive, we're talking about animals here. So I don't know if it'd be animals or not. If what he stole is actually found, it could be anything, I guess, alive in his possession, whether an ox or a donkey or a sheep, he shall pay double. Any way you slice it, when you go out there and you try to steal from someone, then in those days, you're in big trouble. But today, I hear accounts all the time that somebody breaks in a house, even if it's night or whatever it is, and someone shoots them, that it's the person, the homeowner, that goes to jail. And that just seems to be the way things are these days. Okay, we only have, I'll tell you what, I'm going to end it here. I'm going to end it here. And we're going to have, I will remind you again, we have our yearly business meeting immediately after our service. What we are going to focus on now are those people who are out there that are wondering what's going to happen to them when they die. I would say probably most people don't know. No wonder they are not very comforted, or they don't like to think about death. Well, the good news is that Jesus Christ went to the cross and took care of your sin problem. That's what most people think. They think, oh, I've been really naughty, I've been bad and all this. It doesn't have anything to do with it, because Christ took care of your sins on the cross. And now, of course, on the cross, he died, he was buried, and rose from the dead. And now he offers the free gift of eternal life to anyone who will believe in him and him alone. You also receive the free gift of God's own righteousness. Many other things that are free that you get as well. And it's all because you put your faith alone in Christ alone. You put your eternal destiny in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ because you believe that He paid for your sins, and now you become a child of God. And you also have your ticket to heaven is guaranteed. All these things happen. It's because of grace. Most people don't understand grace. So if you're out there and you're wondering about what's going to happen if you don't make it till next week or next month or next year or whenever you die, this is very comforting to you, or at least it should be. And the helter-skelter turmoil that we live in, I wouldn't put it off. I'd take care of that right away. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you reveal these things to us so we don't have to guess under different circumstances what to do. We thank you that you give us your word, you give us the Holy Spirit, you give us the power, you give us everything that we need, and yet we still are weak vessels. But when we are trusting in you, then we become strong. We become the ones who overcome. So we thank you for this and pray that you will help us to focus on these things that we have been talking about here, and so that we can make the right decisions and honor you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.